Mr. Colby, on creeping bentgrass, as you know, that creeping bentgrass is one of the most important species on golf courses. It has several great characteristics. First one will be the low mowing tolerance, and also they have a strong stolon characteristic, and that's where that the grass can be spread out very well on the low mowing height. And the creeping bentgrass is allotetraploid and highly outcrossing and self-incompatible species. And as you know, that the basic number of the chromosome will be the 7. The first genetic linkage map of the creeping bentgrass was published in 2005, and the first QTL mapping of Dallas spot resistance in the creeping bentgrass population published in 2006. As you can see that there are spring, sometime March or April, depending on where you look at it, your fairways and greens, if they're not treated with the fungicide, you'll get this kind of penalty, okay? This is a especially big problem in northern part of the United States where, because of the cool temperature season, that recovering process is extremely slow. Right? And that's why every fall, right before the permanent snow, spring tendons spent at least $10,000, even up to $15,000 worth of fungicide to protect your grasses from snowmall. This is one of the golf courses located in northern Minnesota area, and they actually spray a combination of two most efficacious fungicides, and they get this snowmall problem. In fact, this is caused by the Minneapolis Scutinia borealis. And if you look at this particular the tea practice green, you can see there's a tremendous disease pressure. Again, this site is also sprayed with the two different types of fungicide, and they got this problem. And one of the big problems for snowmall will be there are many different types of snowmall species causing a problem depending on where you are, okay? And the most common one will be called Tipula blite. Tipula blite consists of two species, Tipula incanata, Tipula ischariensis, okay? As a pathologist, the way that we differentiate different species is based on the color, size, number of scrotia. Scrotia is an overcoming structure for the basidium mycete fungi, particularly this tipula. As you can see this bottom here, that's a tipula incanata. The scrotia is more of reddish and irregular shape, and they're more gelatin and the pink and reddish color. And the big background, that's ischariensis, round and black, and many scrotia. Sometimes you can find this embedded in the crown or root. A lot of times you see this superficial mycelium and scrotia on top of the canopy. And also, sometime later fall, when the temperature is slowly dropping down and enough moisture, you also see there's an interesting mushroom popping out from your fairway. It's called basidiocarps. Basidiocarps is what we call a sexual structure that produces a lot of basidial spores, and those spores will germinate, and that's where they actually creating genetic variability, because those spores will mate each other and create new progeny, okay? And species identification, the color and size of the basidial cups have been used by the pathologist. And lastly, pink snowmall, or we call a microdocium patch, and you do not find any fungal sign, except if you look at those infected tissues on the microscope, you'll see millions of the conidia asexual spores. And sometimes you'll see the pink margin of the patch, and that's one of the characteristics of microdocium patch. As I said, because of this complexity, okay, and when you say snow mold, it's not just one species. We're just simply talking about at least six species depending on where you are. Microdocium patches, that's probably most widely distributed, and Tipula blite by gray snow mole and speckled snow mole. Within the speckled snow mole, there are actually three different varieties: variety Ischariensis and variety Idahoensis and Canadiensis. And we're talking about Typhila phacoryza, and as well as a Scrutinia patch caused by Myriascrutinia borealis. And all those different fungal species are response to the different fungicide, and that's another problem, right? So, because of this complex and economic significance, especially northern tier of the United States, and we need to more focus on the breeding aspects. Okay, so today's my presentation will be pretty much nailed down two objectives. We're trying to understand the genetics of snow mole resistance in creeping bentgrass using a QTL mapping approach and comparative genomic analysis. And hopefully, we find some understanding of these genetics, and we're trying to facilitate breeding method, and especially for multiple disease resistance through marker assist selection. The first genetic linkage map was constructed by Chakraborty et al. In 2005, and as I told you, it's an allotetraploid. We're expecting seven pairs of chromosomes, and as you can see, 1.1, 1.2, they are the same chromosome, but they are homologous chromosomes. They are very similar to each other, but there are some differences. So you can see there are seven pairs. Because we got the genetic linkage map has been developed, and we decided to go for the snow mole QTL mapping. As you can see this picture here, we grow the individual progeny of the population in the greenhouse and in 2 by 2 inch pot, and we take them out in the field, as you can see here, and the background is a perennial ryegrass, and then we kill off about 1 foot diameter using Roundup, and then we drop the our clones in the center. And this is a plot look like sometime first week of April in northern Wisconsin. As you can see, there's a huge snow mole pressure here. Okay, so basically this our mapping population were evaluated in two states, in Michigan State and also University of Wisconsin. And we evaluate the disease severity right after snow uncovered, and also we wait about 1 month and looking at the QTL for recovery, okay? And we evaluate this population in 2004, 2005, and 2006 spring. It's a summary. We were able to find several genomic regions for snow mole resistance, I call it physiological or genetic resistance, as well as we found QTL for recovery. Okay, especially in linkage group 1, we found one genomic region that we have gene QTL for the snow mole Michigan 2004, we found the Wisconsin 2005, and we found the Michigan recovery QTL in 2005. And also here, Wisconsin recovery, 2004. And also we have some QTLs on linkage group 2, 3, and 4, and 5. What we found was there is one genomic region, especially on linkage group 5, is right in this region, and there's multiple QTLs over several years. And we thought that we need to do a little more in-depth investigation. In 2007, by a Japanese group in perennial ryegrass, linkage group 5, they were able to mapping the there are multiple family of CBF gene, is called C repeat binding factor gene cluster map on in this region in perennial ryegrass population. That's a reference population. And also the Zing et al. In 2007, they were able to locate a bunch of QTL4 winter survival and freezing tolerance on this genomic region. When we do the comparative genomic analysis, were able to see the, where we found the multiple QTL4 resistance to SNOMOL as well as recovery in the same genomic region where QTL4 winter survival freezing tolerance as well as for the CBF gene cluster. Okay, in conclusion, SNOMOL resistance gene creeping bentgrass is controlled by multiple quantitative genes, and it seems that the location and year-specific resistance is possible due to the fungal species, and we found the genetic linkage, tight genetic linkage with the genes for freezing or low temperature tolerance, or it's possible that the gene actually has a pleiotropic effect. I think it is very important now that since we do a lot of QTL mapping in turfgrass species, we need to develop DNA markers, which is derived from the functionally defined genes, especially associated with the biochemically and physiologically related to the target trait. The research that I presented today was funded by USGA, that we got the grant proposal called Bentgrass Breeding Consortium. It's formed by several universities, University of Wisconsin when I was there a number of years ago, and also the USDA, Madison, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. Through the USGA Breeding Consortium, we were able to screen 600 creeping bentgrass clones in several locations for dollar spot and SNOMOL, and we found that there's about 10 best clones shows great level of SNOMOL resistance as well as dollar spot, and also that it has great texture in color and shapes and the density. Okay, so we're actually waiting for the some of the private or the public breeders come and grab some of those best clones. Okay, with that, I'll entertain and if we have any questions.
Thank you. And we have some time to ask some questions for our turn. Is there any question? I have a question. For the mapping population, what kind of markers did you use for the creeping bentgrass?
Okay, in this population, we use the RFLP.
Yes.
Most of the RFLP markers came from the cereals. And we use the AFLP markers, and we use the rapid markers. There are some isozyme, and there are some morphological traits.
Okay. So the RFLP markers are coming from CDO 638 or something.
The anchor probes.
Yeah.
Anchor probes, yes. Oh, no, we haven't done it. We're actually making some crosses based on those selected clones, and hopefully some of those lines can be evaluated for these diseases and in field condition. And we haven't done anything yet. Yeah. Okay?
One of the things I wanted to make a comment is that let's put some kind of RGAs, resistance genes analogs, and ESDSSR would be great for that saturating some of the region in Cleveland.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Thank you.